The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, my partner, Wynn Carpenter. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you, thank you. Good to be back.
Oh, man. You ain't a kidding.
Back with all these rebels.
We're here with our beautiful producer, Christina. How are you, my dear?
Thank you. Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. And I have to say that we're a lot like family here, and Christina has had a difficulty, and I just...
Put her in your prayers.
Yep. And, you know, we love you, kid.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we are here this morning. We have a guest that will be calling in from United Sovereign America, and we met her about 5 weeks ago when she came with Linda Payne, and they spoke about election integrity. And I think that some of the things that that this young lady brings to the table is very, very special. I know a lot of times we've said, you know, everybody's trying to fix the voting situation we have, trying to fix our elections to where they're honest and where they're straightforward. And it one size doesn't fit all. However, Marley has, and her group, United Sovereign America, have come up with something to where we can all pretty much hang our hat on it. Before I go any further, we're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And you can listen live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, because we are streaming live all over the world. And when we also archive.
We do, forever.
That's right.
And ever.
5 minutes after this program is over, you can go to our programming, go to Jefferson State of Mind, go right to it, and that program will be up. So, with Wynn's playing with his phone.
No, I'm doing the log. I keep getting kicked out of the chat room.
You do?
Yeah, so I'm playing that
oh,
game.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, or at least that's what it's indicating.
Anyway, we are here with Marley Hornick. Marley, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Good morning, Terry. Nice to hear from you. Nice to meet you, Wynn and Christine.
Nice to meet you, too.
You know, I want you to tell people a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about United Sovereign America. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, United Sovereign Americans, I'll start there, is an organization comprised of 100% volunteers. It was born out of an effort I started in the state of New York in 2021 called New York Citizens Audit. And basically, New York Citizens Audit was a group of people who we were told we weren't essential. We were told to stay home. We were told if we wanted to come back out and participate, we had to get in with this medical experiment. And so we got a copy of the New York State voter rolls, and we just started exploring to see if there was anything in there of interest regarding some of these, what we perceived as attacks on our civil liberties. And we discovered a lot of things. We discovered huge numbers of what at the time we called anomalies. Now, little by little, and as I came to know Harry Howery, who's the co-founder of United Sovereign Americans, we stopped calling these issues anomalies. And we started identifying them the way that the law sees them under the U.S. Constitution, where they're identified as potential crimes. And I want to talk a little bit about why, but let me just finish by saying that what United Sovereign Americans is preparing to do is to take these claims about potential illegal activity within the voter roll list, in right now we have 10 states ready, we have 12 more states in process, and argue them in federal court across this country as a violation of our fundamental civil right to choose our representatives.
Yeah, I think that, we were talking day before yesterday, you and I were, and I loved your passion in the fact that you understand what it is we need to do and as far as how we can all unite under the Constitution and how this affects us civilly. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can go about this, but what you did is you found the uniform way to unite the states and the counties to where they have one direction they can go in. And there's a lot of really great groups out there. They've got a lot of different ideas on ways to do things. But I think that you have found something that we can all kind of sink our teeth into. And that's kind of the meat of it. And I'd like you to get into that if you would.
Sure. Well, there's two kind of overarching principles that actually make it simple to see how to approach this. First of all, if you try to learn what an election is on social media, you're going to get a headache for sure. But an election has always been something that contains three basic elements. It contains voters, it contains votes, and it contains counts. And that's really all that an election must contain. Without one of those three things, you no longer have an election. Now, your hardware, your system architecture, your tools that you're using to manage those three fundamental elements, you could use a lot of different systems to do that, but you need to make sure you have a system that protects the integrity or the authenticity of your voters, your votes, and your counts. Now, why? Well, take one step further back and take a look at the system of the United States of America. If you go back to some of the founding opinions, the documents and the papers that were written by the founders, you'll discover that they were very well aware that there was going to always be a problem in America, which is that people don't always agree.
Mm-hmm.
And you could consider that a problem or you could consider it a challenge or a benefit, but regardless, it's there. So actually, the authenticity of all of the information inside of our elections is a critical part of holding our entire system of, natural adversarial interests competing for political power. It holds it in check. It keeps the peace in our country between people who sometimes have widely varying perspectives on how to view reality and what the solutions are for how to manage human civilization. So it's like it brings it down to this really simple level where you see, okay, the voters, the votes, and the counts, they have to be accurate, which is exactly what the law says. And the process of administration of these elections has to be transparent in a zero-trust system. Because if you have an adversary and you sign a treaty, you could call the United States Constitution a treaty in a way, right? It's the rules we're all going to follow so we keep the peace. And you have a treaty that says how it has to go. Well, you don't have to trust your adversary. Maybe they're trying to influence the outcome of elections for their own benefit, because sometimes people do that, right? So you have to be able to oversight the entire process. So the voters and the votes and the counts have to be accurate, and we have to be able to ensure ourselves that the administrators of the elections followed policy and procedure exactly. And that's what makes an election valid.
Yeah, and the simple fact that it is the third sentence of the Constitution that, we are to always elect our representatives. And I think that when you pointed that out, and you also went into a position of saying, hey, how this is a civil position that we have. This is a civil right for us. I'd like you to go into that a little bit for the folks.
Sure. Well, I think that's really what makes America so special. And since our founding has attracted people from all over creation to come here, and that's what's created this melting pot, which is even perhaps at times it increases our level of challenge, which, if you're a courageous person, maybe that sounds exciting. So good. But But really, it's true what Harry was saying, that the first sentence of the Constitution is we the people. That's the preamble. Why are we going to go to all this trouble to protect domestic tranquility, to protect natural rights, to protect the sanctity of creation and our responsibility to each other? The second sentence says, okay, all legislative authority is hereby vested in the U.S. Congress. And the third sentence says, and the people of the several states shall choose those representatives. Mm-hmm. So there's no basis to take anyone else's word for it. And the people who get to vote are the ones who have skin in the game, the ones who have committed to the Constitution, who are citizens of this nation, who have owner-stakeholder positions. Other people, they're allowed to sit. You know, we have many wonderful and invited guests in our country. We have some people who were not invited, seeking some kind of privilege. But at the end of the day, it's the people who've made the commitment who get to vote.
Yeah, the thing that makes this so remarkable, I know when I first met you, I thought that you were possibly an attorney. But I think it's important that you tell people a little bit about yourself. And the reason that it is that it get, well, really and truly, because you decided to take a stand. And I can remember back at the very beginning of the Tea Party, there was a gentleman named, not a gentleman, a senator named Arlen Specter. And Arlen was a senator from the state of Pennsylvania. And I remember watching a bunch of people that were upset with him. He was voting along with a lot of the left-wing Democrats. He ended up switching parties a few years later. But I remember one little lady walking up to him, I would say maybe, I don't know, mid-30s. And she said, you know, what you're doing here and the way that you're legislating here is not the way we the people want it. And you don't know it, but you've woken up a sleeping giant. And she had a quiver in her voice. I know she wasn't comfortable about where she was going. She's always been somebody who's been one of my heroes. And I really think that if you give people just a little bit about who you are and, you know, a little bit about you, you aren't someone who is you know, someone who has, you don't even have a law background, do you?
No, I don't, actually.
But you stood up.
I'm a homesteader. Yeah, I'm a homesteader in the Hudson Valley of New York.
Nice.
I homeschool my children. I gave birth to them at home. I'm a homebody, you could say. I never finished my college aspirations for a number of reasons, although I did study civil engineering. But I didn't finish that, so I can't claim any, you know, I can't claim anything. The only thing I have on my wall is a black belt certificate. That's my only piece of paper. But I think what Terry is getting at is that that doesn't mean that I don't have the right to read the United States Constitution and identify that things have gotten out of balance and that we are facing some real serious challenges to the system of governance that is supposed to acknowledge and see each one of us as equally significant in the eyes of our Creator. And that can be really difficult. That can be challenging. The danger, though, when we ignore that reality is that, you know, a certain interest can gain more power than is warranted according to their representation. And I think we've reached that point, and I think we see, especially in the states of California and New York and other places as well, we see that a particular kind of ideology has granted themselves an authority to rule that is not necessarily given by the people. And this is where we come to these issues back around to the voter roll databases. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of those anomalies mm-hmm. that New York Citizens Audit found. So the first one we found was that we discovered there was a discrepancy between the number of votes counted in the 2020 general election in New York and the number of voters who voted. There were 338,000 more votes counted than voters who voted.
Wow.
So 338,000 ballots, yeah, entered the system. No one has any idea where they came from. They don't track back to any voter whatsoever, any registration record. And that's no big deal. They certified that as accurate and legally compliant. Now, you go deeper in and you start to look, start to inspect the voter registration records themselves. And there are serious problems with who is considered a voter on this official list for participation in New York State. Because the only people that are supposed to be there, again, if your list of voters and your votes and your counts are authentic, now you have a valid election. But how is a person authentic whose birth date changes from one version of the database to the next? Whose birth date changes? How is someone considered authentic when they're registered to vote before they were born? How does that happen? So what we ended up discovering in New York was over 5 million instances where there was invalid data in the list of official voters, and these people were being allowed to vote. So in the 2022 midterm in New York, 745,000 times these registration violations were granted a ballot. How did that happen? And this is where we get into this issue of, okay, you know, we're not supposed to go and question the election officials, because right now in New York and California, that's considered intimidation. So how are we supposed to uphold our civil right? It looks like someone has breached the voter roll databases, mm-hmm. is, you know, injecting potentially invalid or false voter registration records into the database at scale. They're casting votes on behalf of these registrants, or perhaps they're reconciling other ballots in. They're counting 338,000 votes that don't track back even to a fake registration. And they're calling this accurate and legally compliant when they certify. But it's a dumpster fire. Go back. The third sentence of the United States Constitution says the people shall choose a representative. Mm-hmm. The qualified citizen voters. Well, that isn't what is happening, quite frankly. And I don't know what's happening, but the issue is they're certifying it as accurate anyway. And that's where we have to hold the line. That's now, this has become our job as the American people, is to say, you want to have an election? Make it valid. Prove who the voters are. Prove the ballots were legitimate and authentic. Prove the count is accurate and reconciles. And let us see every single record you created in the process to make sure. It's not that the election officials are the adversary. It's that we know. Federalist 10 says, hey, factions, people, political factions, people try to use that for political gain. They try to leverage it. So it's our job to make sure that's not taking place. And the only way to do it is to oversight and review the work of the election officials themselves.
Yeah, you know, you made an interesting comment on your Zoom last week, and I, you know, when you were talking about, now I think I've got this right, there was a vote that was certified, and you still don't know who the winner is? Is that correct?
Well, actually, that's an interesting question. Really, the issue is not whether or not we still don't know who the winner is. The point I was making on that Zoom, and I'm, you know, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So for New York, for example, and I'll just keep using New York as an example because
sure.
it's right on the top of my head. We can talk about other states, too, because, right, like I said, well, this is done in 10 states. When we take those violations of registration and then apparent violations in voting and the massive inability to reconcile election results, and we measure it against a database, a single copy, we discovered that the 2022 midterm in New York had a 12% voting error rate.
Wow.
Now, the gubernatorial contest in New York had a 5% margin of victory. There was a congressional election in New York in the midterm that had a 0.5% margin of victory. A system with a 12% error rate is not capable of telling you an accurate result at 0.5%. And just to mention one other election, so again, we have a voting error rate of 12%. The New York Attorney General, Letitia James, her margin of victory was 9%. The issue I raised on that call, and I'll continue to raise it all over because it's true, is that no one knows who won those elections. We'll never know. It's not that we're still trying to figure it out. It's that you can't figure it out.
Wow.
And the Board of Elections will never be able to prove it because they've destroyed the records and they deny access, and yet they expect the American people to tolerate rule by umpire. That's what I call it. It's the reign of error, because you have more error than your outcome requires, you know, for an accurate and reasonably believable result.
Wow.
That's something. Wow. I know.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. So, you know, what I want to get into, we're going to go to a break here pretty quick, and I want to take it a little bit early because I want to give you a lot of time on these two subjects. One is where do we go to get justice? I mean, that's something I really want you to explain to people, because that's been the whole issue, number one. That's one thing. The other thing is that there are so many people doing so many different things, and even a lot of people doing the same things that seem to be not getting any kind of justice done. I know that we've talked about that, you know, what's law enforcement's role, et cetera. And then again, there's a case that you're involved in that I want to hear about. I believe it's Maryland. Is that correct?
It is, yep.
Okay, great. Okay, so we're going to take the break a little early. So stay with us, Marley. And, you know, folks, this is really something. You know that we do archive this show. We're going to share it. Marley, we're going to send you the link so you can share it with the world. I think that we the people that understand who they are, like Marley does, we need to stand up and start standing up for what we have here in America.
Amen.
And Christina, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working. It ain't handed out for free. Stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed. Politicians in the big old cities are running everything. Our way of life may be simple, and it's not for everyone.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Damian Ward, your host, here with the latest local updates. In a Town Hall exclusive report, mystery surrounds Shasta Lake Mayor's alleged elder abuse and missing classic car. In a shocking turn of events, Janice Powell, Mayor of Shasta Lake, an executive employee of the Chamber of Commerce, has been found by the Shasta County Superior Court to have committed elder abuse and financial elder abuse against her elderly parents, Jack and Darlene Powell.
Hey, it's me.
And when you finish, put them on hold and...
Marley?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter.
Hello, hello.
Jefferson State of Mind. And if you have a question or you have a comment, a quick comment, preferably a question for our guest, Marley Hornick, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Marley, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, okay, so.
We always ask that question because sometimes our technology on this end isn't always the best. So we just wanted to make sure you're still there.
I sure am.
Anyway, so I want to I want to go into the question of where do we go to get justice? Where do we go to get justice, number one? And what makes what you're doing different than what other people are doing? And how does that unite us?
Where do we go to get justice is the place that we have always gone to get justice in the United States of America, courts. And I hear you already. I hear your listeners starting to throw tomatoes at their radio because they're telling me, they're saying out loud, I can hear them, the courts are lost, it's hopeless. Well, one of the issues that we've been facing around the election litigation that's been filed since 2020 especially is that it's been highly partisan and very charged with a desire for a particular outcome. The approach that United Sovereign Americans is taking is fundamentally different. It's about upholding, going back to upholding the original system that was set into place under which we all have an equal right to our voice. And with a valid election, with an election that follows policy and procedure, that obeys the law, returns a trustworthy and accurate result that can be reviewed to determine and ascertain and validate its accuracy, we can go back to being good neighbors. We're never all going to agree. But the courts are designed, and especially the top equity court in the United States of America, the Supreme Court, are designed to resolve issues where the rights of one group of people appears to be getting trampled by the over-exuberance, let's say, of another group of people. And I know that doesn't sound exactly like what we're facing. What we're facing is an attack on civil liberties.
Yep.
And that's exactly where these are supposed to be resolved. Now, how are we going to get there? Well, what United Sovereign Americans is doing, and just to be quite honest and clear, we desperately need your help because filing litigation in 12 to 22 federal districts is not cheap, and it is not going to be done pro se and laughed out of the courts when our country is on the line. So there's two things, but what we're doing is we're filing lawsuits in federal districts across the country that are alleging that these inaccuracies and potential violations of the law that have gone unanswered by officials at the boards of elections and at the state level in state after state actually constitute a civil rights abridgment because they've thrown the outcome of our election into question, an unresolvable question, which means that there could be imposters governing us. There could be imposters passing law or enforcing law that is not what we consented to, which means that we're no longer living in the United States of America. So the question to the judges is, here, the law says the voter rolls have to be accurate. That's the whole reason they passed the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. It's the fourth purpose, to ensure accurate and current voter registration rolls are maintained. The law says only people with skin in the game, qualified citizen voters, can vote, and that's not happening. The law says you have to be able to reconcile votes to voters, and you can't. So, Judge, it looks to us like they shouldn't be able to use this voting system for the 2024 general election because, in simple terms, it's a lemon. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's a car that doesn't drive. It doesn't give us an accurate, legally compliant result, and our country is fraying, and we can't do this again in 2024. We have to have an accurate result. So that's the basic premise of the lawsuits that we're filing. We are live in Maryland, as Terry said. That was filed in Maryland on March 6th, so we're just about 4 weeks in. And right now, the attorneys are amending a portion of the complaint, and the respondent, the Maryland State Board of Elections, is getting ready to respond to the amended complaint. So I don't yet have an outcome for you on that, but these are emergency lawsuits because of the civil rights issue. There is an imminent risk of irreparable injury to our fundamental right of suffrage, and that needs to be dealt with before the election can be administered and certified. Now, one thing that's pretty nifty about these lawsuits is that because they're based on federal law and the Constitution, we have to file them in federal courts. Now, because they're all connected, it's the same set of arguments with only the only difference is the particular set of information and data is pursuant to that state where it's getting filed. So that links all of this litigation as a single issue with different particular state facts. That means that if there is a disagreement among federal circuits as to how to construe the matter, and let's say a court in California rules that it doesn't look like a problem whatsoever, it looks just fine, but a court in Missouri or Texas or Tennessee or Ohio says, no, this looks like a really big problem. This doesn't look like America. This doesn't look like Article 1, Section 2 is being upheld. Now, because there's a conflict across federal circuits, the matter is forced to the Supreme Court. They do not have the right to refuse to deal with it. They're forced to. So the idea is to basically ram this through as a civil rights issue based on the egregious problems identified in the voter rolls in state after state after state. And just to be clear, in New York, we submitted 5 million registration violations to the State Board of Elections. In Illinois, it was 4 million. In Ohio, it was just under 2 million.
Wow.
In Texas, it was about 300,000. You know, it varies from state to state, but this is a massive problem, and it's everywhere, everywhere we look. And this is their data. These are, like, our findings are not based on some kind of, you know, mathematical, you know, analysis of how these different factors relate to each other. No,
right.
They're extracted right out of the database that
right.
the state officials are responsible for maintaining accurately.
You know, I love this. The single issue, the idea of the same argument. So if five states are saying, hey, we believe this, and one state saying, nah, I don't believe it, then You have your case. I absolutely love this. We have a caller on the line, Richard. What say you, Richard? Are you there?
Yeah. Hey, quickly, the work that United Sovereign Americans did and showed here last in February was phenomenal.
Yep.
It was more than enough for our local Board of Supervisors to refuse to declare. Now, quickly. the registrar's office, which I don't believe a word out of their mouth, said, well, that's just a ministerial administrative act that the board is to do, and they must do it. Well, while there's more study to do on that opinion, I will call it, if it is only a ministerial act, then why don't our board just refuse to declare it? And that would be a very powerful political stance. So I'm very, very disappointed that the board majority actually voted 4-1 to declare. But good work by USA, and let's keep on trucking. Any questions? Otherwise, I'll get out of here.
Thank you, Richard. So anyway,
yeah Marley, it's hard to hear.
It's hard to hear the
when you're
on the line
and the other caller calls in.
Yep.
That's what I was saying. We have some challenges here sometimes. So he was talking about what was going on here locally.
He was talking about locally, and you know, one thing that you and I talked about, Marley, and I was interested in your take on this. There seems to be a lot of groups doing the same thing. We have one particular group that's going out and you know canvassing the neighborhoods and you know finding all these different breaches of the law, you know, an address that's not, that, you know, is an empty lot or, you know, or people that are dead or people that have moved from one state to another or people that are receiving more ballots than people that live at their home with dead people, et cetera. And we seem to have, like, different groups doing the same thing and then getting these affidavits from and getting all these affidavits, getting into the sheriff's department. But the sheriff, as you and I talked about the other day, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'll get to that. You know, I'll get to it. But, gee, you know, I got five guys down. I've got, you know, a new car theft ring I've got to help with. I've got marijuana grows. But I'll get to it. And I want you to expound on your position with that and how maybe we can unite, United Sovereign Americans, unite to do something. If we're going to try to get on the same page, how we can do that? Go ahead.
Well, I think all those efforts you're talking about are valuable, but I guess the question I would ask is, what's the goal? Where are they headed?
What are you hoping to accomplish?
Certainly turning reports of anomalies into all kinds of officials is something the American people have done diligently right now for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we have 7 months until the most important election in our nation's history, it seems. Those strategies don't appear to be moving the needle. And I would say that it's very important when we're looking at where we want to put our time and our energy and our patriotism, our love for our country, we have to look at where is the authority to deal with this.
Right.
Sheriffs are not election law enforcement, unfortunately. If you can turn over hard evidence of fraudulent behavior by particular individuals, that's something they can sink their teeth into. But they're not, despite all of the claims, you know, They're not actually guardians of our civil liberties. The courts are the guardians of our civil liberties, especially when the legislative and executive branches are failing us. And it's intimidating for a lot of people. You know, I think people realize that the influence of this particular set of ideologues, whatever it is that drives them, has become so extreme that people are becoming afraid. You know, I've been accused myself as the executive director of New York Citizens Audit of voter intimidation. I've been accused of training my volunteers to intimidate voters and accuse them of fraud, but it does appear more like that accusation is an attempt to restrain our civil liberties. It appears to be upside down of what it's claiming. People are concerned that the courts will not hear us, but what remedy have we been seeking that has gotten traction? So we have to try this. And it's totally different than what has already been tried in the courts. And on top of it, I'm happy to say that there is a tremendous amount of precedence over the last, 250 years regarding prosecuting people for election crimes, election fraud, which is when you tamper or corrupt the list of voters, the votes counted or the ballots themselves, and the final tallies. That's the definition of election fraud, according to the Department of Justice. And boy, they've been successfully prosecuting for hundreds of years here in the United States, because it's taken seriously when it's a matter of civil rights. So if you look at the well-trodden path, I mean, gosh, why not take it? We don't have a lot of time.
Well, we'd love to have them come to California and get some things cleaned up. That's for darn sure.
Well, we have a wonderful team in California. We're working with EIPCA, with Linda Payne and her group, and they are fast becoming more and more committed to functioning as United Sovereign Americans every day, because with all the incredible work that Linda and her team have done, Ruth and everybody there, Ellen and all the people, they haven't really been able to get this traction. There's the huge case that they have gotten through the Ninth Circuit now. It's in the Ninth Circuit. That's a huge deal, but even that is probably not going to get adjudicated before 2024. It's probably not going to help to prevent the 2024 election from being so riddled with error that we end up ruled by imposters. And I say ruled by because when you have imposters in office through privilege that's yep. been gained through corruption of the election process, mm-hmm. they're no longer servants of the people. They're rulers. Mm-hmm. They're not operating as representatives.
Well, Marley, too, this case you just spoke of, now are they going before a single judge, a three-judge panel? Are they going to go through an actual court with jurors and so forth? Do you know what that's going to be?
In Maryland right now, they're in front of a single judge in federal court.
And the one in California?
I think he's talking about the EIP case.
With Linda yeah. and so forth? Do you know that one?
Yeah. Actually, you would have to go to that website. You'd have to go to EIP-CA.com to get the details of that one, because I have, unfortunately, I'm tracking so many things that I can't give
sure.
you specific information.
And that's
about
okay. I just thought if you knew off the top of your head, you might know that. And that's okay. That's totally fine. We can look it up.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. that the latest I know on that is it went to a three-judge court.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that, again, it's the kind of thing where I think it's really got to get to the Supreme Court, like Marley's been
right.
saying.
Right.
I mean, that's where it's really got to go, no matter what we're doing here, because we have to. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I agree, but I think that the reason Linda is so invested in USA is because we're going to be bringing, to the Supreme Court, we're going to be uniting cases
yep.
that are otherwise the same across multiple states and multiple federal circuits. So we're really working to build the argument that this is an American problem. It's not a California problem. It's not a Maryland problem. It's not an Anne Arundel County problem. It's not any one specific place. The same kind of problem is happening everywhere, and it's really a civil rights issue. It's a civil liberties issue for affecting all of the citizens of the United States.
And I love that. It's
I like that
it's
too.
The idea of the same argument and the single issue. I love that. And I think that
well, we've always talked about it, but we didn't know how to label it, if you will.
Well, I think Linda, basically, mm-hmm. the thing that was really good about Linda is the idea of having the flexibility.
Right.
I mean, she's been fighting this thing for
forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
12 years.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So for her to say, oh, okay, this looks good. I mean, hats off to Linda.
Absolutely.
Because she's not only has great tenacity, but she also is somebody who is saying, okay, United Sovereign Americans, you have a good plan here. You have something. We need to be working together on this.
Right.
And I'd like to see more of that, Marley. And
yeah.
that's something, I mean, right now in Shasta County, it appears we have, one group wanting to do one thing and one group wanting to do another thing, yet they're both doing the same thing.
Want the same outcome.
But they, yeah, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
why don't you guys just,
get
you're
together.
Already doing it, why are you doing it again? You
right,
know?
Right, band together.
Anyway.
Right. Well, we're onboarding people in California right now. I know Linda and her team are right now onboarding people to work with the United Sovereign Americans resolution
mm-hmm.
process. So most of the work to get the data together for California is complete. But the process of bringing the information in the California Election Validity Scorecard with United Sovereign Americans, bringing that to officials all across California, to officials, to civic organizations, to election represent, you know, all these different kinds of people, we can go and we can explain to them, look, an election is not just some, you know, random arrangement, you know, it's like the biological thing. It's like, you know, it's just a each one of us is a random blob of cells, you know, like an election is a random blob of ballots. No. Take a step back and look at why do we have elections? It's because we have political factions up the wazoo across the United States of America, you know, and we have to find a way to keep the peace between us. And the only way to do that is to have an accurate and legally valid election in which we know every voter, we know who they are, they're qualified to vote. We know every ballot that went through was a legitimate ballot. And we know that the counts were accurate. And then we're allowed in this system. It's not intimidation. It's responsibility. We're allowed to scrutinize the outcome. So this is what the resolution is about. We're just saying basically, hey, the American people really are the only ones in the circumstance who don't have a conflict of interest, right? The election officials are conflicted because they're used to the system they're using and they don't want to change before 2024. And they take it personally when you say, it looks like you may not be doing a great job. the politicians, no, you know, that's just how it is. I mean, you have to, you know, you try to be respectful as best you can, but at the end of the day, you're telling them, hey, this is looks like a poor effort, right?
Yep. Well, and the thing is, too, they are
politicians.
They're employees. They're employees of, especially like in Shasta County. You know, the ROV is an elected official, so their employees are the constituency. And so every once in a while, you have to do a corrective action, right, and on everybody. Every employee in the county, 100%. They get their annual reviews, right? So a corrective action is very helpful to figure out, hey, you're missing this, you're missing that, or you're doing great here, you're doing great there. And you always want to, you know, you want to do both sides, you know, give them a good and always give them the truth, no matter what, give them the truth. And if the truth is that they're failing at their job, they need to be held accountable to that fact.
Correct. I totally agree. And in fact, that is kind of the secondary strategy after these preliminary injunctions are out the door. It's trying to negotiate with election officials. And in fact, we're even submitting all of our findings to election officials before we report them and before we file suit on them and saying, you know, we're looking for people who are ready to say, okay, there's a problem. Let's work together to solve it for America. And the problem is nobody seems to say that. So there is a secondary set of recourse, which is when an official certifies an election that is provably inaccurate and provably noncompliant from their own data, there's real accountability. That is a 42 U.S.C. Section 1983. And no, I'm not an attorney, but that's how you hold people accountable for violating your civil rights.
Right on.
You take them to court. And you have to, at times, attempt, at least, to forcibly remove them when they won't comply with the law.
You know, with in California, some of the county clerks, the ROV officers, are appointed, and they serve at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. I believe you call your supervisors commissioners back there. I could be wrong. But okay, and so since they serve at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors, then the supervisors can hire and fire. And we've just become a charter county, and there's about, I would say, 18 counties out of the 58. When is it? I think it's 18 that do appoint their ROV officer.
Yes, I think that's correct.
I think it's 18.
Yeah, I think that's
so,
right.
So, I mean, there is that, too. So if you can flip your – we've just become a charter county, and at this point we have 3 conservatives out of 5 on our board. And if they decide, which I think they're going to select and to appoint – the ROV officer, then, hey, I mean, that gives us a little more jurisdiction. You've got about maybe 7 minutes left, but I want you to tell us, and we'll do it again before we get off the air, how people can help you.
Sure. The biggest thing we need, because the evidence is done, and to be clear, what United Sovereign Americans volunteers, and I'm a volunteer also, to be clear, what we've done is we've done millions and millions of dollars worth of detailed computer programming, data analytics, and legal analysis to get to this point. So We have a lot of skin in the game. If you can't contribute your time, please contribute generously to getting this evidence already completed through the courts. We really need your support. And you go to uniteforfreedom.com, unite4freedom.com. And if you go to the contribute page or donate page, I can't remember what they called it, but there's a QR code specifically if you want to make sure that half of your donation supports litigation in California. There is a specific QR code to follow for that, and I think you can click through also. So just to be clear, if you want 50% of your donation guaranteed to fund litigation in California, use that button. Also, if you want to be part of the resolution process, you need to sign up as a volunteer, and the reason is because only people who have made an agreement to comport ourselves with dignity and to treat all people with respect and to do this for the good of our country, regardless of political party and regardless of candidate, are part of this resolution process. We really don't want anyone to be out there yelling and shouting and say, hey, I'm with United Sovereign Americans, because that's not solving the problem. So we're taking a different approach. So please click our volunteer button and become a part of that process. Those are the two main things you can do. You can learn a lot more about United Sovereign Americans on our website, too. There's a lot of really good information there.
It's a beautiful website.
Yeah, it is.
You did a great job on that.
You know,
thank you.
I was gonna ask you, now you went through California and through a lot of counties in California. Is there a possibility before the election, or maybe in the next month or two, that you would be making some more trips? And how does that work? And also, can we get YouTubes, or is it on Rumble? Any of the stuff that you've done as far as the events themselves when you came out? I know you came to Shasta County. It was excellent, very very good information. Is there anything floating around that folks can get to, and where would they get to it? Or is that on your website?
Yeah, the entire Shasta County presentation is on the uniteforfreedom.com website.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on the page called In the News. It's up there. Wherever we have a whole bunch of videos posted, you're going to find that Shasta County presentation. And as far as coming back to California, there's nothing planned right now, but I'm certainly willing to come again. I'm going to be in Ohio and Washington, D.C., and then upcoming I'm going to be in New York City and Florida. So I'm definitely making the rounds. You know, we don't have the media. So the only way to get people invested and involved in this process is shows like Terry's and meeting each other face-to-face. So another really important way that you can help United Sovereign Americans is to tell everybody that you heard about this strategy, you think it has merit, you want to learn more, you want your friends to learn more, let's get involved, let's get invested, let's get these resolutions all over the country. We have people currently in Illinois, Ohio, New York, Florida, and Texas doing resolution presentations for a valid 2024 election. And I know California is just about ready to start. So please, you know, get invested in that process. This is our country. And really, we're at the point where we have to focus not on, you know, okay, we're conservative and that, you know, they're progressive and that makes us enemies. No, we have to focus on what unites us and what holds the peace in this beautiful grand experiment, this great American country, which is upholding the law equally for everyone. And I think we have a great opportunity to do that with these lawsuits, but we have to act. It is April and we have to act. We need help. We need money, and in California, we could use a constitutional attorney. We have a couple of attorneys interested, but none of them has a background in civil rights.
We could use a constitutional attorney.
Yeah, we could use one in Shasta County. Anyway, we've been talking to Marley Hornick, and Marley, it's amazing what you're doing. We're all glad to call you a friend and fellow patriot. God bless you. And
thank you very much.
You bet. And we'll be talking again. Wynn and I will see if we can set up a Zoom with Mountaintop Media.
Yeah.
And we'll just Zoom you in. That way you don't have to. You can do it from the comfort of your home.
There you go.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on today. It's great to hear from you again, Terry, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Marlon.
We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, with that, time has come.
For 51.
Well, let's get it done.
Amen.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.